Off the Cuff is back after a very long spring break. That was only a week. We got a lot to talk about, so much that I can't give it to you in the intro. So, you know what's coming up. One, two, three. Say it with me now. Roll the music. Off the Cuff, episode number 7. Wow. Proud of myself. Episode number 7. Welcome to episode number 7 of Off the Cuff. It's been a minute. It's been a very long time since there was a new episode out. I think episode 6, we were talking about the trade deadline. The trade deadline has now passed. We're here for episode 7. I'm going to recap everything that went on while I was on spring break. Had a very enjoyable spring break. Shout out to Jordan, Maddie, Allie, Braylon, Jace, McKenna, Jacob, my brother Xavier. They're all my siblings, but spent the week with them all week watching the madness that was March Madness, watching the NASCAR Cup Series hit the dirt for the first time since 1970 or 1971. We're going to talk about that today. We've got a lot to talk about, and we even got to talk about some of the craziness that's going to be happening this month. The UFC, they're running a full crowd in Jacksonville. WrestleMania, the WWE's prized event, is this Sunday. They're going to be running a very decent capacity of fans at Raymond James Stadium. It's going to be an interesting episode. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab yourself some popcorn, because it is going to be a very interesting episode, if I do say so myself. So let's go ahead and get into it. We start with the NBA trade deadline. It was a very exciting NBA trade deadline, and there were some moves that I personally liked and some moves I personally did not like. We're going to start off with the biggest one around the NBA, and that was Nikola Vucevic, the recent All-Star, getting traded to the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls acquired Nikola Vucevic and Al-Farouq Aminu. I got that right. Props to me. And then the Magic acquired Wendell Carter Jr., Otto Porter, the Bulls' 2021 first-round pick, top four protected, and the Bulls' 2023 first-round pick, top four protected. I think it's clear Orlando's rebuilding, and you'll see why once we get to their other trade that they made during the deadline. The Bulls are looking to win now. Maybe not win the championship, but at least go far in the East, maybe the second round in the East. The Bulls are trying to win. I think you get another guy to go with Vucevic and Zach LaVine, the Bulls are going to be a top five team in the Eastern Conference. The Magic, they're rebuilding. The Magic, I feel like, have been rebuilding for the whole decade and now the start of this decade. So I don't know. Speaking of a former Magic player, the Heat by low on a two-time All-Star. The Heat have acquired Victor Oladipo, and the Rockets acquire because, okay, so I know some people, you know, maybe you don't watch the NBA and you're like, I thought Oladipo was on the Pacers. Well, Oladipo was part of the James Harden trade. The big three pieces in that trade were Caris LeVert to Indiana, Victor Oladipo to Houston, James Harden to Brooklyn. That's really all you need to know, is that Vic got traded to Houston very earlier on in the season, and now he's getting traded again, but to the team where he wanted to go in the first place, Miami. So now Vic is in Miami, and the Rockets have gotten Kelly Olynyk, Avery Bradley, and the right to swap the Rockets or Nets 2022 first-round pick with the Heat's 2022 first-round pick that is top 14 protected. That is a lot of info to take in. This is a great move by the Heat. They are now maybe the third-best team in the East. I think it goes Brooklyn, Philly, Miami, Milwaukee. I think that's my order in the Eastern Conference as of right now. The Nuggets emerge as the winners in the Aaron Gordon sweepstakes. There was a lot of rumors about Aaron Gordon. We talked about it on this show. I think we were mainly talking about him heading to the Boston Celtics. I threw out another couple of names. I think I said the Hornets and the Pacers, but he ends up in Denver. The Nuggets acquire Aaron Gordon and Gary Clark. The Magic acquire Gary Harris, RJ Hampton. That's a good pickup. RJ Hampton, nice young player. And the Nuggets 2025 first-round pick that is top five protected. I think this makes the Nuggets maybe the best team in the West or second-best team in the West. The Celtics make use of or part of their massive trade exception. Celtics acquire Evan Fournier. The Magic acquire Jeff Teague, either the Celtics or Grizzlies, 2025 second-round pick, whichever is less favorable, and the Celtics 2027 second-round pick. This is a good move. You get another shooter when you're Boston. Magic, once again, just rebuilding. They're going to fade for Cade. I saw that. And I love it. Fade for Cade. I love it. Fade for Cade. Cade Cunningham of Oklahoma State, the projected number one pick as of right now. The Sixers acquire a veteran point guard for their playoff run. The Sixers acquire George Hill. And, yeah, we're not I'm not going to try to say this name. But just know the Sixers get George Hill. The Thunder acquire Tony Bradley, Austin Rivers, the Sixers 2025 second-round pick, and the Sixers 2026 second-round pick. The Knicks acquire Terrence Ferguson, Vincent Poirier, the Sixers 2021 second-round pick, and the Heat's 2024 second-round pick. Top 55 protected. You can put – I don't think I've ever seen a second-round pick get put protections on before. They probably haven't. I just didn't really like go into deep detail to find it. I didn't know teams actually had interest in their second round picks from the Sixers and the draft rights to, I don't even know his name. All right. That one, that trade was, that was kind of an irrelevant trade. The Sixers get George Hill, great 3-point shooter, great ball handler. That's a great move for them point guard wise. The Clippers get a playmaker while Lou Will heads home. The Clippers acquire Rajon Rondo, and Lou Williams is going to be going to get his wings in Atlanta, as not only the Hawks get Lou Williams, they get a 2023, the Blazers 2023 second round pick, and the Clippers 2027 second round pick, and cash. And cash. They get cash as well. I think this is a good move on both sides. For the Hawks, you get more scoring to go with Trae Young, John Collins, Clint Capella. It's a good move. The Clippers, you needed Rondo. You needed a point guard. You needed a ball-handling point guard. And I think this is a great move. Rondo hasn't been what he was last year, so hopefully by playoff time he does well for the Clippers. I love this move. This next one is my favorite move of the deadline. The Blazers acquire Norman Powell. I was so hyped when I saw this. I love it. Norman Powell is averaging 19.5 points per game right now. I think he's going to be a huge impact for this Blazers team come playoff time, if they're going to even get into the playoffs. I think they're like, what, the 11th seed? Or they may not even be that. They may be higher than that. I don't know. And the Raptors acquire Gary Trent Jr. From what I was talking to a lot of my friends and people about, they say Trent Jr. is going to be a really nice young player for the Raptors, so we'll see how he turns out. And they also get Rodney Hood. And then really after that, nothing that much notable. The Mavericks acquire J.J. Redick. That's not a bad move. Nuggets get JaVale McGee. And that is pretty much all the major moves. Let's go ahead and talk about some of the top candidates who stayed put. You have Kyle Lowry. He stayed in Toronto. You have John Collins. He stayed in Atlanta. Lonzo Ball stayed in New Orleans. I said it in episode 6. I didn't think they should have traded Lonzo. New Orleans did not trade Lonzo's contract does end at the end of the year, but they can match any offer that comes his way. So let's say, I don't know, New York offers him a pretty hefty offer. If the Pelicans match that offer, they automatically get him back. So that's how a match sheet works in free agency. Man, the NBA's free agency. We're going to get into that episode very, very soon. I'm hopefully looking to make an upcoming episode on why the NBA should stop with the soft cap and do what the NFL does and have a hard cap. And I think most people that listen to this podcast can agree with me if you kind of know the details around that. Players waived on deadline day. LaMarcus Aldridge was waived from the Spurs. It was a buyout. He is now in Brooklyn. Jalen Leclerc of the Pacers, I think he's in the G League now. Myers Leonard, he got waived by the Thunder. Jabari Parker got waived by the Kings. Jeff T got waived after he got traded to the Magic. Vincent Poirier, when he got traded to the Knicks, he got waived. Andre Drummond got waived, but got bought out. He signed with the Los Angeles Lakers. So that is the deadline for you guys, folks. That is the craziness that was the NBA trade deadline. Here's some stuff I recommend you guys watch. We've got, there's a lot that is coming up and that has already happened. Tonight, if you didn't know, the national championship, it's going to be a good one. Gonzaga, Baylor. This is probably the most excited for a national championship game I've been excited about in a long time. Because I was too young to watch the Butler ones where they went back-to-back and lost both. I was young. I didn't really pay attention to college basketball. I think I paid attention to NBA, but not college. So, you know, this is probably the most excited I've been. I've got Gonzaga winning. Look, my bracket was horrible, all right? My bracket was absolute garbage. But I got the national championship right. Did you get the national championship right? No, you got the national championship wrong. I got the national championship right. And all and everybody at my house, everybody, shout out to the family. Oh, well, you know, the Big Ten's going to be very dominant in this tournament because, you know, they have... No, they were not. And I won't say their names because they watch the podcast they watch every single episode. They said Gonzaga was the weakest number one seed out of all the number one seeds. And I was just like, okay, all right. And I don't want to hear people also say, oh, well, you know, Gonzaga got an easy trip to the tournament because they didn't play Iowa. That's like saying the Lakers got an easy championship because they didn't have to play the Clippers. No, the Clippers had a 3-1 lead and they blew that to the Nuggets. That didn't mean it makes the Lakers title any easier. The Nuggets gave them a run for their money. Gonzaga, they're just flat out better than everyone. They may lose to Baylor tonight. I think Baylor's going to give them a fight. I think it's going to come down to the last shot like it did against UCLA. If Gonzaga, though, plays like they did against UCLA, Baylor will wipe them. They will wipe them out, and Baylor will be the national champions after it's all said and done. I've got Gonzaga, though, winning this game. They perfect the perfect season. You know who also had a perfect season and went on to win a national championship? The Indiana Hoosiers. They haven't won in a minute. They haven't been, I can't even remember the last time. I can't even remember the last time they were good. Isn't it Cody Zeller, Victor Oladipo, and Yogi Ferrell? I think that's the last time this Hoosiers team was actually good. Well, the Hoosiers, they're still on the Bob Knight curse because they haven't been able to find a decent head coach since Bob Knight left. They have signed a new head coach, and Mike Woodson, he is known mostly for being an NBA assistant coach. He's now getting the big job at IU. I know a lot of people around here in the Indiana area, they wanted a big name. Now, some people were like, no, I want an actual name. I want an actual good coach that's going to come in here and turn the program around. Not some flashy name that won't do nothing, but he's going to say they're going to claim he's doing something good because of his name. No. Well, I think Indiana fans got what they wanted with this signing. Not a major name, but I think he can definitely turn around the program if he gets the right staff around him because it's all about recruiting in college sports. So I'm interested to see how will Woodson do recruiting-wise in the college game because, you know, in the NBA game and the college game, they're two different ways of getting players. So it's going to be interesting to see how well can he recruit and what staff will he build around him. That will certainly be an interesting topic. So, I mean, I think that also leads to questions. I'm assuming now Brad Stevens' job is safe in Boston. Unless Danny Ainge, chooses to fire him, I'd assume Stevens' job is locked. He's going to stay in Boston because the rumors were swirling he was going to head to Indiana. But they obviously get Mike Woodson. So I'm assuming his job is safe. I wonder what Celtics fans think. Are they happy with Brad Stevens? I don't know why they wouldn't be. I mean, they're not doing so well, but Stevens is still a really good head coach. And I tell you right now, the minute he gets fired, he's going to have so many teams on his phone. You know who needs to call up Brad Stevens? The other Indiana team in Indiana, the Indiana Pacers. I've watched this Pacers team throughout the year. Now I realize, you know, TJ Warren's been hurt and, you know, they just traded away Vic for Caris LeVert. But this Indiana team, Bjorkstrand is not the head coach. This is not the right guy to be the Pacers head coaching job. This wasn't even on my list, but we're already here, so I'm going to go ahead and talk about it. Bjorkstrand was the wrong hire in the first place. And as we've gotten later on into the season, it's becoming more and more and more abundantly clear that Bjorkstrand should have never been hired as the head coach. They shouldn't have hired him. There were so many more people on the market. Mike D'Antoni is an assistant coach in Brooklyn. Now, I know that's not what Pacers fans wanted. They didn't want D'Antoni. But still, you could have gotten Mike D'Antoni, who is an assistant coach in Brooklyn, not even the head coach. He's the assistant coach in Brooklyn, and you choose to get the Toronto Raptors assistant coach. The assistant in Toronto, while Mike D'Antoni is in Brooklyn as an assistant coach. It was a horrible hire when they made it, and it's starting to become a lot more clear as we get on to this season that it's even worse. I've never seen, I mean, they've choked so many fourth quarters this year that this team could probably have a winning record and be fifth in the East right now, but they've choked so many fourth quarters that they can't, that they're in the spot that they're in. They're what, 10th in the East, 9th in the East? It's switching every single day in the Eastern Conference. I mean, are we back in 2016? Because the Eastern Conference looks horrible. I think the 8th seed is like 21-21. Like, if you're not Brooklyn, if you're not Philly, if you're not Milwaukee or Miami, are you really a contender in the East? Boston isn't even doing that hot. So I know, now Isaiah, you're kind of contradicting yourself there. I thought Brad Stevens is a good hire. I mean, it's not Brad Stevens' fault. I mean, it's also the players' fault. I just really don't know about this Indiana hire. I don't like it. I didn't like it when they made it. I didn't like it now. Because the Pacers, last year, weren't they like a fourth seed? No. The year before that. Weren't they like the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference? And weren't they, they were a decent seed last year, right? Weren't they like the sixth seed? And now you're the ninth seed with a really, really good team? I'm starting to get flack because I was telling people, oh, this Pacers team's going to be good. Caris LeVert, Domantas Sabonis, Miles Turner, who is leading defensive player of the year. If you don't think Miles Turner should be first on the defensive player of the year ladder, then you obviously don't watch basketball enough. You obviously don't watch the NBA enough. You're obviously not a big NBA fan. Miles Turner is averaging more blocks than Gobert. He should not be third behind Ben Simmons and Gobert. He is first. Miles Turner should be defensive player of the year. See, now I'm on a tangent, and now I'm just rolling and speaking everything on my mind. But it's just frustrating. It's very frustrating. Bjorkstrand shouldn't be the head coach. The Pacers should not be ninth in the Eastern Conference with a team that is this good. Miles Turner shouldn't be third. So there's my Pacers rant for everybody. But I think anybody listening to this can agree with all three of those statements. Bjorkstrand shouldn't have never been the head coach. He shouldn't have gotten hired, especially with how many good head coaches are on the market right now and during that period of hiring a coach. Miles Turner should not be third. He should be first. He should be the defensive player of the year if he can hold up that 3.4 blocks per game. I think it's even gone up. Maybe it's gone down. I don't know. But I know it's in that three-point area. And the Pacers should not be where they are. This team is such a good team. If you've watched this team in years prior, they look good. If you watch some of their games, they look really good. But this team has just seemed to struggle. And some people are like, well, you know, Sabonis is one of those issues. Sabonis is one of those issues. I've heard Pacers fans say, you know, he struggles to help this team space the floor. He is your number one scorer. He does what he wants. If Domantas Sabonis doesn't want to space out the floor, he does not have to space out the floor. He's your number one scorer. If Sabonis wants to not space out the floor, Sabonis ain't going to space out the floor because it's his team. It ain't Vic's team. It ain't LeVert's team. It ain't even Bjorkstrand's team. It is Domantas Sabonis' team. And Pacers fans say it's his fault. Some Pacers fans are saying, oh, he needs to be gone because he doesn't know how to space out the floor. Well, then you guys are going to be at the bottom of the East because who's going to be your main scorer? Miles Turner? Brogdon's good, but you think Brogdon can carry the Pacers to a top seed in the East? No. Sabonis can. But he's not, and I know what you guys are going to say. He's not doing it right now. Well, duh, he's not doing it right now. Obviously, I realize that. This Pacers team has been off all year long. Sabonis has been doing his thing, though. Can't blame Sabonis. Like, it's a team game. But we got to move on. I went on a little bit of a tangent there, but we got to move on. Some things to watch this week. There's a lot of things going on in the wrestling world. There's a lot of wrestling on TV. Well, tonight, like I was saying earlier, you have the national championship. You've got some NBA games on. You've got the NFL draft this month. I'm really looking forward to this NFL draft. I don't know about y'all, but I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a really good draft. I can't wait to see. Y'all think Matt Jones going to the Niners? I don't think so. I think Justin Fields is. Jones had a horrible pro day. I think he's going to New England. I think Jones could fall to New England now. I don't think the Niners are going to trade up for him now. After that pro day, I know I ain't drafting him. And do you guys think Will? I don't think Zach. I don't know. Like, Zach Wilson to the Jets. See, I keep going off subject. There's just been so much to talk about. We've had pro days. We've had everything. I don't know if Wilson's going to go to the Jets. I know there's a lot of interest there, but you have Sam Darnold. If you're not getting Trevor Lawrence, stick with Sam Darnold. There's no other quarterback in this draft as of right now that has the same potential as Sam Darnold besides Trevor Lawrence as of right now. Maybe in the few years from now, Darnold isn't as good as Wilson or whoever. But I think right now they need to stick with Darnold. Darnold has not gotten a fair shot with this Jets team since he was drafted there in 2018. Yeah. And I think it's a darn shame that they're not going to try and give him a shot. Where are we going now? We want to go to the Niners. Let's go to the Niners. I think they should take Justin Fields they need to take Justin Fields. Trey Lance is going to, I hope he ends up in Denver. Because, man, if the Broncos don't draft. Okay, Niners. I think the Niners should take Fields. Fields had a way better pro day. Fields would fit much better in Shanahan's system than Mac Jones. Jones would fit better in Belichick's system, by far. By far. You have probably just as athletic as Brady. So, I mean, that's not much when you're talking about Brady's athleticism and Mac Jones' athleticism. They're not both that athletic. But they can throw a football. I think he'd fit fine in that system. Unless, I think the only reason they brought Cam Newton back is to draft maybe an athletic quarterback. So that kind of throws off my whole Mac Jones scenario. But why bring back Cam Newton? Does Belichick really think Newton's going to reach his full potential, going to get back to, I don't know, at least MVP potential? There's no way. He had to have only brought him back because he's going to draft a quarterback in the first round, or at least draft some quarterback. Hopefully he drafts a quarterback in the first round. And hopefully that quarterback is a Mac Jones, a Trey Lance. Maybe they trade up. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what's going to happen in this draft. We all don't know what's going to happen in this draft. I don't know. Are the Eagles going to take a quarterback now? Because, I mean, the Eagles dropped all the way down to 12. I mean, I think there's still going to be a quarterback there. I think people forgot Kyle Trask exists from Florida, the quarterback from Florida. He still exists. He's still there. But he may be heading to New Orleans with the recent reports coming out that they think Trask would be a great replacement for Drew Brees. But I thought the Saints had Taysom Hill, and you have Jameis Winston. I don't know. Very chaotic. Very chaotic draft, and I cannot wait to dive into it. We're going to have a mock draft episode coming up very, very soon. Hopefully. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pick all those, with the right projections and everything else. My bracket wasn't good, so I don't even know how a mock draft would go. But, hey, hopefully it goes well. We'll also have a March Madness episode coming up. Hopefully I can get Christian Oates and Colin Echols on for that. We'll talk about the whole tournament in full. I want to give that its own separate episode. And we'll also talk about the national championship as well in that episode. Now, let's get back to what I've been trying to talk about twice, and I've just kind of left off on it. So third time's a charm, right? What to watch and what you should watch. NASCAR, for the first time in about, I don't know how many years, got back on dirt. The Cup Series. The trucks have raced on dirt since the beginning of the 2010s. The Cup Series raced on Bristol dirt. Yes, they put five layers of dirt on Bristol Motor Speedway, and they said, you know what, let's throw the Cup cars on dirt. And I watched that race like I was a little kid on Easter and got Reese's eggs. I actually did get Reese's eggs for Easter. I hope you guys all had a great Easter. But that's how I felt watching that race, I think, last Sunday. The Sunday before yesterday, because yesterday was Sunday. You get what I'm saying? Okay, you get what I'm saying. But, man, that was so exciting to watch. They didn't really pass much, but it was a really good race. I really enjoyed that race. If you want to go, I don't know. Hopefully you recorded it, but because I don't know. You know Fox Sports, they don't cover NASCAR good at all. They probably won't show the replay of that race anytime soon. So go find it for yourself. It's really, really fun to watch. Watching, you know, those big, hefty stock cars drifting around dirt. It was really fun to watch. I really enjoyed it. And you know what's even better than NASCARs going in circles? Watching guys wrestle in a wrestling ring in a stadium. WrestleMania! WrestleMania! WrestleMania is this weekend. You got night. Yeah, they're running it two nights. They're running two-night WrestleMania. Have you ever heard of that? Two-night WrestleMania? So they're having night one, and they're having night two of WrestleMania. They're running two nights of WrestleMania with, I believe, 40,000 people in attendance at Raymond James Stadium. Oh, my goodness. Can you say COVID-19? Because, ooh, 40,000 people? I think it, ooh, 40,000 people in Raymond James Stadium for two nights of WrestleMania. I don't know. For my wrestling fans that are listening to this, I don't know if there's that many wrestling fans, because, you know, doesn't Raw average like 1 million in viewership now, TV-wise? That's so, what a fall from grace for the WWE. You're averaging 6 million every Monday night when Stone Cold Steve Austin, the glass and the rod, you smell the rod. And now you're at 1 million. It hasn't even been like 4 decades, and you are only, and now you're at 1 million viewers every Monday night. They're going to get killed tonight with the national championship on, but jeez, what a fall from grace. That is bad. But for my wrestling fans, of course, you can buy it on pay-per-view, or you can watch it on Peacock. That is Xfinity NBC streaming service. If you didn't know, Peacock, they bought the WWE Network. So now you got to pay $4.99 to watch WrestleMania on Peacock. So go ahead, download Peacock. That's how you can watch it, and or just buy it on pay-per-view. But it's a lot cheaper if you get it on Peacock, because you can cancel the subscription at any time. So yeah, go ahead, go get Peacock. I'm not even sponsored by Peacock, so I don't know why I'm plugging Peacock. My stepdad, though, he works for Xfinity. So we get Peacock for free, so you know I'm going to watch WrestleMania on Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, I can't wait to watch that. What else do we have? We have UFC. We have a lot of UFC. UFC, they just started their new contract with Venom, Reebok. I think that contract literally just ended a few days ago, and now they're partners with Venom. So we're going to see the new clothing designs for the fighters. We got Jorge Masvidal versus Kamaru Usman, part two. And there, Jorge Masvidal versus Kamaru Usman 2. There you go. We've got that coming up, I think this month, or maybe in May. I don't remember for sure, but I know it's happening very, very, very soon. And my phone just fell on the floor, but I'm not going to pick it up right now, because we're talking about Jorge Masvidal versus Kamaru Usman 2. I think it's going to be a great fight. I can't wait to watch it. And you know the most interesting part? It's going to be a full crowd. I don't know about y'all, but it kind of scares me. Full crowd? You're telling me I got to sit next to somebody at a live event? Yeah. I don't know about that one. That's kind of scary to me. What? Florida just does not care. Shout out to Florida. Florida does not care one bit. But it should be good. I can't wait. We've got there's a lot of stuff coming up. I mean, we already have the trade deadline. We got the NFL draft. We got WrestleMania. WrestleMania. Can't wait for that. It's going to be great. I can't wait. I'm going to watch it. I'm not even that big of a wrestling fan like I used to be, but I'm going to for sure watch it. You should watch it too. I'm not going to recap it though on here. I may. You never know. It's my show. But you said this show stinks. It kind of does. It kind of does. Because I'm just rambling on right now. But I can't wait to watch. Say it with me now. Do it with me now. Ready? 1, 2, 3. WrestleMania. It's going to be great. You know, it was great this episode. I thank you guys for listening to Off the Cuff episode number 7. I think this was probably the best episode yet. And we got plenty of more good episodes coming for you in the future. I kind of foreshadowed 2 of them. We've got a full tournament recap. We're going to talk about the tournament. Hopefully I have Christian Oates and Colin Echols on for that episode. And then we also have a full first round 32 pick mock draft, hopefully, that I hopefully get out before the draft, because that is going to take a minute to decide who I want to go where, especially if I choose to add trades into that. But those episodes should just be as fun as this one. Thank you for listening. I will see you guys next time for the next episode of Off the Cuff. See ya.